I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
This is Jenny speaking.
This is Lindsay. What is up?
What's up, everybody? Girls, just in case you're still sleeping on our Patreon, I just want to remind you all, last week we had a fucking... Me and Lindsay must have been... I don't know, the Adderall was hitting just right because we did so much content last week.
Yes.
We had a live stream on Monday. We obviously had our usual episode of It Girls and X Girls out, but we did a bonus X Girls all about... a certain award ceremony. We did a It Girl Shit Girl.
That shall not be named, but it is the most prestigious award show.
Absolutely.
In the influencer community in Ireland.
If you remember last year, we did an episode with Courtney Smith. This year, we brought it to Patreon because only the real ones can handle this shit. But it's just a fashion fun, like... fashion police. That's what we always
fashion train. Police and also Zoom police, shall we say, because the award show was on Zoom this
Absolutely.
Year. So we wanted to just loll about that. And boy, did we loll. And,
did we loll.
Go through some of the outfits and some of the goings on.
Mm-hmm.
But
we
that
also
is on
did,
Patreon only.
Yes. And we also did a Triple X Girls episode, which is our $8 tier, which who gets extra content every single month. And we did it all on, you know, we all saw there was a lot of MUA drama last week. There was
Suzanne Jackson,
a lot of
et cetera, Kaylee.
Reddit drama coming out. And there was
about
just
a certain Radio X radio presenter.
Yes.
So we put that tea only on our €8 tier. That's Triple X Girls. And that's where, as of now, like, it's still kind of becoming its own thing, but as of now, the €8 tier is where we've been talking about, like, viral kind of shit that's going on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So we also spoke about Ballymun Getaway Gal.
Oh, my icon, who a lot of people
Gemma
thought
Ward,
voted
shout
shit
out.
Gal, but I mean, I'm sorry, I really, she gave me the content that I needed that week, and I'm hooked on
She's
her
still
Instagram.
Giving it.
I'm addicted to her Instagram. So yeah, if you guys are wanting some extra content, as always, reminder, go to Patreon. It's a fiver a month, and this month you're going to get so much extra stuff because we have had a piece of content almost every single day last week. This week we got some really cool guests, which is so exciting. But this week, speaking of guests, okay?
Yeah.
As you guys know, Lindsay and I love a bit of reality TV. We bring a lot of our content from reality TV.
We also love a bit of nostalgia.
Absolutely. And Irish nostalgia. And an iconic show that was aired 10 years ago on TV3, which is now Virgin Media, was called Talifornia. Lindsay, if someone hasn't watched Talifornia or isn't aware, how would you describe it?
Okay, well, first of all, what you should do after listening to this episode mm-hmm. is go on YouTube and look at the clips and look at Talifornia Swipe, because that's kind of how that really embodied the show. And again, it's hard to find actual episodes of it, but Talifornia Swipe was a YouTube channel that was made to kind of just like poke fun out of this show. So it was like Ireland's version of Geordie Shore.
Mm-hmm.
It was set in Tala, obviously, and it was just fucking iconic. They were in this duplex in City West and they lumped a load of people from Tala in, lads who were like beefed up, girls who were in their little rara skirts, and they plied them with alcohol and just let the drama happen. And it did. That was the beautiful thing. A lot
yes.
of the time with like some kind of Irish TV, it's a bit more curated. This was, we don't have a lot of like reality TV show that is like, say, British and American reality show, but this was very much real drama filmed. And it was just, there were so many, like, we constantly see like memes being made of this show, like, you know, five blokes, that's only five eggs per bloke per day.
Per day.
These like memes are like constantly being regurgitated online. And if you look up, like, the scenes are just iconic that are on YouTube. And we got Kelly Donegan on, and she's been a fan, and we have been a fan of hers for years. And we wanted to know what actually went on, what it's like. We've been dying to get someone is on any of like a reality show, and we want to definitely get more on. But it's great to hear. We had a really interesting chat with her about the background of like the audition process, being in a relationship whilst being on this show, and just the reality of the kind of come down after the show and how, like, you know, the public received it, etc.
Yeah, so like, I mean, if anyone, if you, even if you haven't watched California, this is such an interesting interview to get into the mind of someone who was on a really huge, really, really big reality TV show, but B, a reality TV show that has a certain kind of reputation with it. As we said, if you think of the likes of Jersey Shore and Jordy Shore, you know, we did a whole episode on the people of Jordy Shore. We talk about them a lot because they are like, they're a good kind of cultural touching point for most people to kind of know about how people are treated in the media, how it can affect them. They're still so famous, but California was a show that, you know, had the potential to be as big as Jordy Shore, but unfortunately none of the cast really catapulted like the way we see it happening now. And you very rarely hear of the come down from that. You very rarely hear about like how it kind of follows you throughout your life, because when you're a consumer of these shows, you watch, you might tweet something mean and then think nothing of it, but the reality is that in reality TV it follows people and it can for the rest of their life, you know, which is really, really interesting. So as we said, Kelly Donegan, we have her on. She was an amazing cast member on California and she was an amazing guest on the podcast. And we'll leave all of her information down below. If you should go follow her because she's a great Instagram account. And hopefully we're going to see a little bit of rejuvenation of her content, because she has been tweeting about California now. She said she's gotten a few interview opportunities. So I'm hoping she'll come on and, you know, will we get, you know, because
reclaim her right to being an Irish legend. We gave her the crown of being an Irish legend, and everyone on the California cast is a legend in our eyes because of what they gave to Irish culture. And like I said, it was so momentary, like there was nothing like that. Like, we Irish media and TV don't really dip the toe into that kind of reality.
I know. And I was thinking recently there, I was like, you know, the way they're bringing back the Real World, so they're bringing back one of the first ever Real World cast into the same apartment, and they're all in like their 40s and nearly in their 50s now. They were in their 20s in the early 90s. Like, this is like an old Real World. I was like, oh, imagine how good it would be if they brought back, because you couldn't really bring back Fade Street, right? Because Fade Street, iconic watch, and we want to do a deep dive into Fade Street. If anyone who is on Fade Street is listening, please hit us up, because we need to talk. But you couldn't really bring that back because it was purposely so contrived. It was very like The Hills, but with California, you could bring back. You could have that, even just a 1 hour special of them all. Like, I'd love a reunion. You know, that way we'll host it. I'll put it out there. We will host a reunion of California.
Oh my gosh. Please make this happen.
So guys, as we said, listen to this interview, then go down the rabbit hole of California. You will not be disappointed.
No, it will make your lockdown so much better. And thanks so much to Kelly for coming on. She was amazing. Enjoy.
So welcome to the podcast, Miss Kelly Donegan, legendary, well, fitness and health queen, first of all.
Yes.
But second of all, cast member of the cult classic California. How are you?
You even actually said it like it was said on the show, which is quite funny.
I know, I just noticed that when you said that.
You've been watching a lot of the episodes.
Yes, I have. I was like watching so many last night. I was just like, I mean, rewatching that show is a trip, but that is what we're going to
talk about. I set up a petition. Yeah, remember that last year? Because I, was it lockdown? Yeah, it was lockdown where I was like, I need to find these episodes to rewatch, because I got in a rabbit hole on YouTube looking up little clips and the two lads, what are they called again? California Swipe.
Oh, Chris and what was the other guy's name? Peter, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was watching that and I was trying to find episodes, and I was just like, this is so incredible. Like, it's such good fucking TV, and like, honestly, a rebrand, like a new California would save RT. I said it.
Yes.
It's the only thing. But you were on it, and you were like a beckon.
It's actually on TV3, not RTE, but that's neither here
nor
there.
No, I know. And that's why I put
TV3
it up.
TV3 is 100% the sexier channel, though.
They have better
day.
Shows.
But
RT are the ones who are losing the money. True. So like, if they took a California style thing, it would be so good. Because like, it was just amazing. And I put up a petition, which I will share, if we could share it underneath this episode, because I was like, we need to get the episodes back on like the TV3 player or the Virgin Media player. But I know,
Lindsay, you're going to scream laughing, right? Because me and my sister, she decided to come on this reliving California journey with me. You met my sister, you did her tattoo.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Yes. So we decided together that we would watch it. And I was so grateful because she is 10 years younger than me. So she would have been like 10 or something when I was on the show.
No way.
So it was weird doing it with a support network beside you. And we were looking for all the episodes. And what did we come across? A petition to have the show put back on. And then we saw your name and we were like, what the fuck?
That is so good. My secret online behavior.
A super fan.
Oh, I know. God, and because it's just annoying that you can't watch all the episodes. Like, did you find them?
No, I couldn't find all of them. Like for me, like obviously I knew what happened because I was there, but it was just about refreshing them because obviously I like mentally blocked it out for a very long time.
So let's think back then. So California came out 10 years ago, am I right? It was like 2011?
So we recorded it in City West in a house. That was the first one. And the first episode was aired in December 2011. It was like a preview of what was to come for 2012. And it's crazy because it was during the recession, so people always forget that. Like that's a huge thing to remember about the show coming out at that time.
So what was it like? So let's think even before the show happened. I have some questions. Did you want to go on reality TV? Like, was this something you wanted? And then also, let's maybe talk about the actual process of getting on that show. Because I'm so curious.
Okay, so I have to go even further back now. So, I mean, I never really set out to be on reality TV. I didn't want to be, let's say, a reality TV star. I didn't necessarily want to be famous, per se. I did, however, want to be in show business. In my mind, I thought that maybe it would be a stepping stone to get into TV and to get into more like presenting work and kind of pop culture based TV. Because at the time I'd been doing a lot of modeling and it was hard work. It didn't go that easy for me. You know, I'm no Georgia Salpin.
You're gorgeous.
You're right.
But it definitely didn't come naturally in terms of, let's say, my career ambitions. I had to work very hard at it. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this is a sidestep that could suit me a bit better because I love to talk. I am not shy. And I really thought that it was going to open up a lot of doors. So when the opportunity kind of presented itself, I was like, should I? Shouldn't I? I didn't know what it was going to be, really. So I said, fuck it. Like, just go for it. Like,
yeah. And so was there like did someone contact your agent about it? Or like, did you find an ad or how did you come about it?
So I was modeling for a couple of years. No, I wasn't a full-time model. I was in art college actually at the time, studying to be a graphic designer. And I was doing a bit of promotional work, a little bit of modeling work. I actually did Miss Universe Ireland, which is actually for me even funnier. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, Miss Universe Ireland. It was funnier than even doing California because I'm not I look like a girly girl, but I'm actually not really a girly girl. So I was in TV3 doing, I think it was like some, this is actually really embarrassing, some hand modeling job for Carter Beauty. And I'll be honest, my hands are shite.
Like, for Carter Beauty, did you say?
I think it was Carter Beauty. Yeah, it was like like spring, summer nail polish colors. And I was in getting my hair and makeup done. And the girl was like, oh my God, TV3 are making this show about Tala. You're from Tala and you're a model. You've got a big personality. Why don't you do it? And I was like, no, because at that time I wanted to be a model. I wanted to be on the cover of Playboy. That was what I wanted to do. And it was only when she said it to me, I was like, oh, actually, maybe I could go down the TV road. And that's where the kind of idea to get into kind of presenting and things of that kind of manifested. And I thought no more of it. And I kind of just thought the whole idea would just fizzle away. And I think, now again, I could be slightly wrong, but from my memory, I got an email then from the producers saying, look, we heard about you through so-and-so. Would you come for an interview in the Plaza? Which is quite funny because at the time, the Plaza was the Tamangos over the north side.
Yes. It was gas. I'm obsessed, you know, that it was in the Plaza.
Yes.
I'm obsessed that that's where the audition was. And tell us.
So I had a lot of memories in the Plaza. So yeah. It was in the hotel where the interview was. And that's kind of where it started from.
And what was the interview like?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because I suppose it was my first opportunity to get an idea of what the show was going to be like.
How did they sell it? And
How
did they sell the show? Like, did they tell you, like, was it what was it presented as it turned out to be?
No.
Okay, tell us how they presented it.
No. So I like, again, all of this comes from my perspective and my yeah. own experience and my own memories. It's definitely a long time. But I suppose over the last week or two, since I've been talking to you guys about doing this, I've been chatting to my family and friends about reliving it. And my cousin actually said to me, I was so young, you were my idol. And I remember you came home after the interview and you told me that you were, there was this show about all these people in Tala doing these interesting things, and it was going to be really career orientated. And, you know, they were really going to go down that road. So, like, the fact that she had that memory, and she was only like maybe like 15 at the time. And it definitely was like that. You know, it was like, you know, it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to come across great. You're going to have all these opportunities. Never once did they say this is going to be like an Irish Geordie Shore.
Yeah.
Like, that never came into it. Not once.
Because like that's 100%. Like, because when you think of like two iconic Irish reality TV shows, it's like Fade Street in California. And you guys were kind of in direct competition as well because you were on competitive channels and it was out around the same time. And
the Scaldies.
Yeah. Well, I know which one I would have preferred to go on a night out with. I'll tell you that.
100%.
But like you guys were 100% like the Jersey Shore, Geordie Shore, and then Fade Street was like the hills. You know, 100%. That way. They were like modeled off them.
I mean, like when you think about it, I'd say what they tried to do in the audition process, if I'm thinking how they were trying to like, I'm going to say lure these people in and make it like seem as something else. Because they do that on Geordie Shore and Jersey Shore where they like give them these jobs and they have to go to work. And like in Jersey or in Geordie Shore, they had to like be club promoters. And like they had the boss woman come over. I can't remember her name, but she was always this narc. So I guess they just kind of set aside all the drinking and everything, whatever else, and the clubs, and was like, oh no, it's a career-based reality show to kind of pull yous in.
Totally agree. No, that's definitely how it was. And like, you have to remember at the time, I think when I was interviewing for the show, I was 21. I had just turned 22 when I did the show. And as much as maybe compared to everybody else, actually, I take that back. Let's say compared to maybe the girls, I was slightly involved in the media industry, marginally. So I kind of had an idea of kind of what was going on. Like, obviously, the lads were a lot older than us.
Really?
But for me, I think the lads were like, I think one of the lads was in his 30s. And then the rest of them were in their late 20s.
That's you oh know, my goodness. The internet would have a fucking field day if they went so mental about Marty Guilfoyle going into that go house.
I
this
know.
Was coming out today.
Totally. So, like, yeah, like, I definitely thought that it was going to be something different than it was. So, I definitely found that disappointing. Now, at the same time, I'm not going to try and make excuses for like the filming or whatever like that. I'm sure there was challenges in getting a reality show for an Irish market. And I think that that probably was the ruination of the show. And kind of what makes it so funny is that it was so awkward and cheesy. Like the reality was like so much drama and shy happened that wasn't aired, that they didn't film or they didn't catch.
You like, gotta fill us in on some of that.
Yeah, because like, I mean,
when we get into it.
Yeah, so obviously like you did the audition process, you were told you're going to be coming on the show. One of my favorite facts about California, and you said California, is that the house wasn't even in Tala, it was in Rathcoole, which I know is still like West Dublin, but it's just so gassy. Like California, Rathcoole. So do you remember?
It was in City West, and Tala, actually.
Because that's what I was reading on Wikipedia. They're like, California is a show that was filmed in Rathcoole, Dublin. I was like,
but lots of people would bitch and say like, oh my God, they're not even from Tala. But like the vast majority of us were from Tala. I am from Tala.
Yeah.
So is Phil. So is Jay. But everybody else had some relationship to Tala. Like the two girls, as far as I remember, were found in the plaza, which is where they socialized every weekend.
found in the plaza, that is so iconic.
And then the lads obviously trained in a gym in Tala, so even though they didn't live there, their life revolved around that area. So there was some relation. It wasn't just these random West Dublin people plucked and put in Tala, you know?
So do you remember the first day of filming? Like, you must have been so excited because I'm the same age as you. And I remember like these shows were coming out and a lot of the cast were around the same age as me. And I was just like, first of all, so jealous.
Yeah, first of all, where the hell was my call?
I was like, where the fuck, why was this not landed on my plate? And you must have been so fun to be like, you're moving into this house. Like, because those shows were on TV then, like Geordie Shore, The Hills. And you must have been mad to be like, I'm living that life. This is so crazy. Yeah,
and also like, when going into this house, like, did you know these people?
So technically I didn't know them. Like, none of us were friends. I'd never met any of them before. Now, we did have, I think, one interaction briefly beforehand where we had to sign our contracts with TV3, go through all the rules and the expectation. I wish I could go back and slap myself before signing that contract.
Do you remember some of the rules and expectations, et cetera, that you were signing off?
Like, as far as I'm now, again, I do need to dig the contract out, and this is probably all secret. So this is just from my own memory and experience of things that I wouldn't have liked to sign.
Yeah.
So like, we don't get any royalties if it's reshown again. And it was sold to Channel 5 and things. And yeah, like, there was other little small things. Again, I didn't have a massive knowledge of these kind of things at the time. So I just wish I could like take a time machine and say, get legal representation and get a better fucking deal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
this thing is going to like be a part of your life for the next 10 years and it's going to affect every single thing that you do. So do I think that we should have got paid a lot more? Abso-fucking-lutely. So I met all of them in that scenario, or came from in that brief meeting with everybody, because we were like, who the fuck is this robot?
Corbinator.
Yep.
The icon.
I was watching, because obviously so much of California Swipe, the show that was like apparently at one point getting as many views as the show. It was so popular on YouTube. They were just so obsessed with him. And me and Ev were watching clips from it last night, and he was like, I cannot remember how iconic he was. It's only now looking back on it, you're like, you are like such a character.
But the two shows complemented each other so much. Yeah, now, obviously, the California Swipe was just on YouTube and they were doing it off their own back. And then I think they did actually get hired by TV3 to kind of be some part of it. But yeah, it's just like the way that they edit it and like some parts. But like, I actually reached out to him as well to try and get a couple of like a guy and a girl. But I think he is just not wanting to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
I was talking to Cormac yesterday, actually. Just chatting, checking in. And yeah, I mean, like, we're probably going to talk a lot about this a little bit later on, you know, after we go through the whole experience. But I know a lot of us had a lot of negative experiences from the show. And I said, Cormac was such an icon. And that's what made it so funny, you know?
Yeah.
And he is an icon, and there's nobody like him.
But he's also lovely. He also was nice. You know the way, like, I mean, yeah, he came, like, he was a bit gruff or whatever, but like...
like douchey at most.
Yeah.
But like, he, of all the lads, he wasn't like the one that you were like, oh.
Yeah,
you
know, and especially when we're seeing the rebirth of Phil on First Dates and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But so you didn't know these people apart from just seeing them... And when you went to the audition process, did you kind of see, like, were there a lot of people or anything like that?
No, I don't know if the experience was different for me than the rest of them. But when I went to the Plaza for my interview, it was just me and the crew there. They asked me like a series of questions. I can't even remember what the questions were, but kind of like, what were my goals in life? You know, why would I be interested in being on a TV series? And for me at that stage, I hadn't even really decided if I wanted to be on a TV series, you know? It kind of just fell into my lap, which was kind of odd in that way, that I was like, I'm here just because I'm nosy. And all my friends were like, you have to go and do this interview. This is a show about where we live, where we grew up. It's called fucking California. Yeah. You have to go. So did part of me go for the interview just for the shits and the giggles? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, well, you would. Yeah, like, I mean, it was especially at that age, like, you know, that totally, way. Like, yeah. I mean, it was, we're like such a generation of people who were like brought up on those kinds of shows, like that big burst of like reality TVs, but like young people in the city. So like, hell yeah.
Young people just living their life.
I would have done it a million times over.
So you got to the gaff. So the gaff was in City West. So it was in Tala.
Yeah. Let it be known.
And I remember the gaff. Like a pretty normal, like the gaffs had fucking single beds, which is gas.
Yeah. Like, do you know what my mom said it to me yesterday and I was like, how did I not notice that? And she was like, there was no pillows in the pillowcases on your bed. And of course a mother would notice that, you know?
Yes.
And she brought it up yesterday when we were rewatching it and she was like, Like, that's just so odd. Like, they have a jacuzzi but no pillows.
Sorry, that is so fucking funny.
That is so Irish mammy.
The like interior of the house as well is just so perfectly like normal Irish gaff.
Yes,
like,
yes.
The girls' room was like pink with floral wallpaper.
Yeah, a bit of a mural going on, I think it was. But yeah. And there was loads of shots with like the two lads talking whilst just like lying on their little single beds. It was But that also coincided with like Geordie Shore, because the gaffs were never. Like, that was the beauty of those shows. Because now you see reality TV shows and it's these big villas and amazing places. It was gas seeing them all, like, cramped in these tiny rooms with their suitcases.
Like, the later seasons of Geordie Shore got more glam, but the early ones were just so good when they were all, like, in those little single beds.
Even for us in Santa Ponsa on the second season in this villa, like, it was still a bit of a shamble then at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's the perfect villa for California to be in because... Yeah. It was kind of slightly in bits.
Yeah, exactly.
Your little like picnic outdoor area. I was like with the like real like granny kind of like table covering. Yeah. You know, that was, I was like, I know those so well.
Like, we've all been to that villa on holidays with the fam. Yeah. But so you get into the gaff and like, how does that happen? How does the first day? Talk us through that. Let's get into it. So the first day you arrived at the gaff. What did you bring? What like, just talk, girl. We need to know.
Okay, so. I thought there was a lot of apprehension, a lot of anxiety, a lot of kind of worry because, I mean, of course, like in the past, I had done a lot of things that I chose to do and that I was very comfortable with, like modeling and all that kind of stuff, whatever. But I was going into a scenario where I had very little control, you know, over the narrative. I didn't know these people. And even from my brief meeting of them in the kind of contract signing situation, I didn't click with any of them either. And that was a little bit worrying for me because I am, I suppose, like I have so many great friends and, you know, you feel comfortable around your friends and you can be yourself around your friends. But when you're in a scenario where you don't click with people, you know, like this weird person comes out and you feel a little bit lonely and you're anxious. And by nature, I'm a bit of a people pleaser as well. So that fed into it. So I was definitely really nervous. I didn't know what to bring to wear. I was really worried. As oh my god, I don't know how I'm gonna look. Yeah. My style is shy. People are gonna judge me. What am I gonna do? So I was really kind of self-conscious, but I was also filled with hope. I was thinking this is gonna be the start of something incredible. Like this is going to be it for me, and you know I'm gonna have a great time. I'm gonna have the absolute crack, and that was not to be. Lots of drama, even from day one. Like. I didn't really click with the girls, which was a shame. I didn't necessarily have any beef with the girls, but I didn't click with them. So there was just an awkwardness from day one. And then there's alcohol involved. So as you can imagine, you have a good few drinks to settle the nerves. And then you just forget the cameras are there.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Natalie and Nikita were the names of the other girls, right? Yeah. And they seemed to click, you know, that way. So I could understand that you're obviously like a really outgoing person. So it'd be kind of unnerving if you're like, oh, hold on. Like I'm meant to be able to get on with people really easy. And then like, especially, I think they do that on purpose in these shows where they get like three girls.
Well, you're kind of
two
like,
girls pair off and there's one girl that's like.
Oh. Yeah. Three is like difficult with female friendships. But also it was kind of like Nikita was Snooki. And Natalie was Jayway. So they were like their own. Yeah. And then you were Sammy. Because you got in to the relationship.
Yep.
And so, that's what's going to happen as well. And I say that the producers were just like, oh, yes, thank God we got a relationship.
So even though you're saying that like it was drama filled and like stressful for you, that was what fucking was the best thing about it for us as viewers.
Yeah, which is the weird thing about reality TV.
Yeah, but...
Absolutely. But look, I knew, like, obviously when you're going into a show like that, you know there's going to be drama. Like, you know, I wasn't born yesterday and I knew that they were going to be seeking drama and seeking confrontation. And I'm not a confrontational person. So that was probably never really going to be on the cards for me, even though it did end up happening.
Yeah.
So probably for me to have like...
How did it set up in the terms of, so you get there, you're mic'd up, and the first day, like, what was that like? And like, obviously you didn't click with the girls, but like, are they just sitting you down and being like, stay in this room and filming and like providing drinks?
So like, I'm trying to think back to everything. Sorry, I'm trying to get comfortable here. I'm trying to go back a decade ago. And I remember we got in and we were given like, let's say shit, not necessarily like schedules, but like there'd be times in the day where we had to get up and film like a narrative where we have to chat about the night before. This wasn't, and everybody always asked, was it scripted? It wasn't. I have a terrible memory. That would never happen. So we'd get up in the morning at a certain, I think it was like 9 o'clock, and we'd have to talk about the night before. So whether you were dying or you had a terrible night and you had fallouts, you had to get up and kind of relive the whole thing through your experience. Which was harder in the first one than the second one. And then through the day, we had like different, like, let's say kind of at this time, this person is going to go and do this activity. And at this time, you're going to have your dinner. But aside from there being like, let's say a schedule in that way, there was nothing, let's say, overly contrived, which kind of might surprise people.
I was like, I am watching people live. The difference with California and Fade Street was that Fade Street, you could tell, was scripted to a certain degree and that they were placed in certain kind of awkward situations. But with California, it was just like you could feel the realness of
it,
because it felt like you were one of the cameramen, just like that scene you put up on your Instagram, which was in the first season, right? Where I think it's after a night out, you're all kind of like merry and you're wearing the dress, and like shit happened where like it was like volatile from what I remember. There's a clip of it on YouTube and you put up on your Instagram saying that like that was the kind of scene that you were a bit like
dreading watching, wasn't it?
Ooh, where I smashed Phil across the face.
Yeah. What happened in that confrontation again?
So I suppose that was one of the biggest scenes for me in the first season. And I was really embarrassed going into watching it there the last 2 days. But actually, now that I relive it, I feel like he deserved it. I'm not condoning violence and I feel awkward that I got physical drinking, but look, I think everybody was happy that I gave Phil a bit of the back slap. But so I suppose in that scene, that was kind of near the end of the first season. And obviously me and Dave at that stage had kind of been hooking up a little bit. There was some scenario. We were actually in the north side drinking. I think it was it Tamango's tomorrow? I think it was.
Yeah, Tamango's. You did go to Tamango's, yeah.
And we were drinking there, and there was just a constant awkwardness in the house. There was a constant anxiety. There was always a weird air 24/7 in the house when we socialized. So when you drank a lot more than you usually would just to kind of just make yourself chill out a little bit. Mm. And like, there was a lot of jealousy, so many rows. So you found yourself more drunk than you'd ever find yourself.
And
really.
Where was the jealousy coming from?
So like, obviously when I was starting to see Dave at the time, which kind of dominated the first series, you know, we weren't actually together. We had just hooked up. But there was an instant like attraction and like, I don't know, maybe I'm old school. You know, when you kind of meet somebody, you like somebody, you kind of think like, well, not you're not together, but it's like,
I'm like that.
You're still going to treat this person with like respect or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you're either like if you're not interested, fine, go and do what you want. That's cool. But if you're kind of involved in somebody with somebody, just treat them with a little bit of respect.
Especially if you're on TV together.
And living together, essentially.
And living together, yeah.
Yeah. So like, I definitely felt in that scenario, like, again, we were not together. There was no commitments there, but I just felt embarrassed. So I found myself getting really drunk. I think me and Phil were joking, doing shots together or something. I think I may have done a shot of his belly button, and something came out and Phil said that I tried to kiss him, which isn't true. I did not try to kiss him.
Classic
maybe
Phil move.
During that night, which was all on camera, maybe he believed something was there. I don't know.
He was a bit of an antagonist Isn't that
an instigator kind of, yeah.
Yeah, like, and, yeah. And that happens sometimes with men where they're kind of like, how are you sure you're with her? She was all over me. That kind of like, because Dave was, first of all, visibly, wasn't he the like largest, even, was he bigger than Corminator? I'm not sure.
I think they always had a muscle off kind of vibe.
But like, they're like,
oh no, definitely. Like Cormac is kind of the same height as me roughly, whereas like,
Dave
is
tall.
You know, there was definitely, he was definitely the biggest, yeah.
And Dave so there was definitely quite, like, the dominating character of the lads. Like he had the kind of posher accent. He was very sure of himself.
The frosted tips.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like, I think in those scenarios, so you definitely did things maybe like rash and it just led to drama. And I think Phil, that was the character he really wanted to play.
Yeah.
So he was happy to stir the shit, you know, but for me, it just brought so much drama towards me and I'm not a dramatic person. So I found it really hard. So I drank more. And like, so,
and you're in the space of liking someone as well, which makes you go crazy anyway.
Yeah. And adds a different, like, you know, level or layer to the storyline.
Yeah. And I'd never met anybody like that before who was so dominant, who was so charismatic, who was so confident. Like, there's definitely like a power there. So like, you're instantly engaged with that. And when you feel like, then that person doesn't actually really care. Like, I'm specifically talking about this night, and everybody saw the series, so you could see that. So when Phil said that and made me out to be, let's say, this character, which I wasn't, it just really upset me. And I got so drunk and I couldn't see any sense. And we had a massive argument and I knew he was lying and I knew he was trying to create drama for me that I did not want. And I just gave him a belt across the face, which I'm embarrassed about now, but like, at the same time, if you're going to create drama, that's going to come for you, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if all of my nights out when I was 22 or 21 were recorded, I would 100% have many an embarrassing moment.
I remember being triggered as hell from just like Facebook photos of nights out when the club would put up the, I was like, ah! So I can't imagine it being on TV. And it's a very difficult space. Like we get it a lot from like if we're getting hate online. Where it's like where you're being misrepresented. So when you're like, if people are saying you're this, you're that, and you're like, but I'm actually not. I swear I'm a good person.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of, it feels like you're being put in this pigeonhole. So you obviously were trying to, you were liking Dave and he, so he wasn't committing to you. Is that what was going on? So you were kind of hooking up, but it was no, was it more?
Yeah, like we were hooking up, but like, obviously what I saw was somebody who still wants to be with all the lads and party and that's fine. That's his prerogative, whatever. But it did make me feel insecure, which led to me getting drunk. And then Phil comes out with this thing that I had tried to hook up with him. And it just like, I don't know, that was the start of all the problems. I should have seen the red flag then and just walked away and said, you know, I'm going to have my solo California journey alone.
Yeah.
But that was not to be either.
Yeah. So the
but
red
even
flag,
the scenario.
The red flag that you missed then would have been that he didn't believe you. So he did he believe Phil and he was, he from what I remember, he called you like a slut and stuff quite regularly.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that. Like, again, I couldn't find all of it to rewatch it. Yeah. But like, I definitely think that there was like maybe a set. Again, I am speaking from my perspective and my take on the whole thing. So I'm not saying somebody said this or said that.
I saw that.
But I definitely,
I'm saying.
But I definitely think maybe there was a sense of like maybe worry about being embarrassed or taking the piss out of that. Like, again, nobody knew each other, so no one really knew what we were all like. So I think everybody was on edge and the worst of everybody came out.
Well, it's a melting pot as well. It was the lads who obviously were like quite competitive with each other. We saw loads of scenes of them like in the gym, the likes of Philly, who was so like visibly different than all the other guys who were like beefed up, like muscle fucking steroided up to the gills. And then Philly was like, I'm also a personal trainer, but he looked like
he was the one who was the most convinced of his muscles.
Yeah he was very weak, but I think he, looking visible, like in comparison to the other guys, he was more slight. So then I think he was kind of trying to trump his personality by being like the bravado and stuff. And
from my memory, I think he was a, like, of everybody that was there, he was actually a, now again, I could be wrong, this is just from my impression of what was going on, that he was a big fan of reality TV. Even though I've seen Geordie Shore and things and Jersey Shore, I wouldn't have been like this hardcore fan.
Yeah,
I don't even think I really watched that much TV at the time, to be honest.
It would make sense as well.
There's a YouTube of him with talking to Gaz from
Geordie Shore.
And he's like, Gaz is like, how many birds have you slept with? And he's like, this month or this week? Like, you know, and it's like, he's obviously, Gaz is his idol. You know, he's like,
He definitely wanted to be
You would get that impression.
I think he wanted to be like Mike the Situation from Jersey Shore. He even kind of looks like him, I think.
A little bit,
They're very similar vibe. So other than that, because obviously, as Lindsay said earlier on, you can't get season one of California on the line anymore,
anywhere,
which is so frustrating. But were there any other like standout moments from season one that you're like, you think back on and would like to almost see, to see, like, would it confirm anything to you? Or, you know, were there any standout moments for you of season one that like you wish people, maybe you wish people couldn't see?
Like, I think season one was funnier. Like, I think there was a lot of funny, memorable scenes and phrases. And, you know, even though I had that argument with Phil and there was a lot of like relationship, well, it wasn't a relationship at that stage, but there was a lot of like romance related issues for me. Like, that was just funny, you know? And I suppose the big one that everyone always talks about with me is walking around in my bikini and my heels.
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious. But like, for me, my goal was to be in Playboy. So, you know, you got to sell what you've got.
And Defo.
If you look at Love Island, they all wear heels and their bikinis and everyone thinks it's deadly.
They do.
But
so
when we do, she loves herself. She thinks she's the fucking business.
Gas that it was in Tella.
So
and
funny.
You're trotting around in the heels because you had a jacuzzi in the back, didn't you?
Yes.
Iconic. And that's that's so funny. I saw on your Twitter as well when you were rewatching it, you made such a good point because like when I was rewatching some scenes, I forgot how much of the show was like mostly narration from like separate interviews, you know, that way, like there was it's filmed so differently to like shows now. And you made a point that you were like, if only there were like hidden cameras like the way they had in Love Island, like you would have got like a crazy show, because I'd say so much shit happened.
Tell us about that,
because there was a schedule, like the camera crews went home at night. Like, I think it was like, you know, they'd film a night out and a certain amount of time afterwards and then they just go home.
So what would happen when they went
really
home?
Really silly on their part in terms of getting really good quality content.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we should have had mics constantly because, now again, I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but it was said that, you know, other companies like, I don't know if it was MTV, but other channels wanted to buy the show, but because there was no consistent sound, that was an issue. Again, maybe that's not true, but that's what I heard on the grapevine. But they definitely missed a lot of stuff. But at the same time,
what
that
do we miss? What do we miss? Tell us. What do we miss?
Oh God! Like, I'm trying to think, because again, it's been so long. All the smooching, all the riding. You know, that all happened when no one was there. Come on, like,
yeah. And how would that play out in the? Was there a shag pad in California,
or was it a single?
There
bed?
Was. No. Do you not remember seeing the sign? And it was called. Oh, what the hell is the room called? God, my brain cells are not firing right now.
That's because they tried to also do it like shag pad.
No, there was like a written sign that the producers created, which I'm sure they're like, oh, this is so hilarious.
I remember, but I can't remember the name, but we will find it. But so that's where you and Dave would be.
No, not necessarily. I genuinely don't believe that I ever got it on in the house while they were filming. Now, he lived around the corner, so we just used to go there.
So could you guys go home like when you wanted? Like, it wasn't like a strict, like you have to be in the house at all times, or could you go
out? And you were able to have people over as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't bring anyone into the house that wasn't, let's say, there for filming. And we did have a specific schedule, but like the film crew weren't there all the time. Like, I think I may have gone home only once or twice in the 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it was. But like you could go out, you know, you weren't like a prisoner, a reality TV prisoner.
Yeah.
So like there was definitely a lot of things that were going on.
Philly and Nikita were also a bit of a romance, I think, in the first season, were they?
Yeah, like she really liked him. I don't know if he really liked her, but that's where a lot of the drama with the girls came for me, is that obviously Phil said that I tried to hook up with him and she really liked him. So that's where the backstab and two-faced hooer came from. I feel like I need a t-shirt with that on it, actually.
Yes, you should sell merch.
Yes. What was it? Backstabbing, two-faced hooer. Hooer.
You got to get the hooer right.
Yeah, that's so Nikita. So
she had great lines.
So like, if obviously, UK, you filmed it, right? But that's probably one experience versus it coming out? Like when you went home after the 7 weeks, like how did you feel? And then were you getting anxiety before it like aired, or were you just excited?
Yeah, like it, because you don't know what they're going to put in. Like from my memory, I think they filmed something like 6,000 hours. Now, again, maybe I over-dramatized that, but there was definitely a couple of thousand hours worth of footage that they filmed, but they only showed 10. So they really had a lot of power and control over the narrative, and there were scenes and situations that you really didn't want coming out. And, you know, you didn't know how they were going to be portrayed, and you didn't know how the Irish people were going to take it either, because let's be fair, Irish people are dicks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so hypercritical. So you really didn't know what the impression was going to be. So there was definitely a lot of worry, a lot of nerves. I didn't have that massive bond with everybody either. And obviously, because I apparently tried to hook up with Phil, which I didn't, you know, I didn't have a great relationship with the girls. You know, they thought that I was obviously a backstabbing, two-faced hooer. And I definitely got the impression that they thought, now again, I could be wrong, this is my impression, that I was better than them, but which I never
felt.
Thought.
It's how you felt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like when I finished the show, I didn't really have, I don't know, I really didn't know how it was going to be produced. Definitely a lot of worry and fear. And it was September when we filmed. So we had November, December. So 2 months to wait.
Yeah. Which would feel like a long time. And did you, so you weren't kind of in cahoots or whatever with like the other cast? Like, were you and Dave talking when you weren't filming?
Yeah. So obviously we got together, you know, after the show, which, you know, I don't think it happened on the show. I think we got together after the show. So like I had a full blown, full fledged relationship in California.
Let's go.
And yeah, which is nuts. And obviously, like, there was a lot of stuff in the papers. There was no Instagram at the time, and Twitter was like the number one social media page. So like things are being leaked, like these are the people on the show and this is happening. So my life was already starting to change. Like you'd be, I don't know, in the chipper or something, and be like, you're that girl that's going to be on that show.
No way. And
yeah, so like you could see your life changing already, and you're thinking, is this going to blow? Which it did, you know, for that whole 2 years, it was just hardcore.
What was it like?
So
yeah, what was that like? Because especially I can imagine it being a local thing, adding such a different element, you know, that way. Like I say, because you were walking around Tala with people from Tala being like, oh my God, you're on California, you know? So like how quick, once it started airing, like how quickly did you see a change in like your life or people's perception of you?
It catapulted. Like it literally, like everybody knew about it. I mean, the first episode, which was the trailer, I think they had something like 480,000 views.
Whoa.
Which was massive. Like it was huge. So, and even if they didn't see it, they were talking about it. So, and again, like you have to remember that like times are so different. It was the recession. Like a lot of people were going through a lot of hard shit. So when this came along, it was like, finally, we've something to talk about, something to bitch about, something to laugh about.
Yeah.
You know, and especially from Tala, you know, there was definitely a weird energy around that and going anywhere. Like it was both good and bad, you know, like obviously I got a lot more exposure. I hate that word, but that's what happened. You know, I had a lot more photo shoots. I was in the papers a lot more. So I really felt like my career was about to kind of just take off, but it didn't. So like there was definitely a lot of highs and lows, you know, after filming the first one.
Mm-hmm. And so when did you start to realize that, you know, because if you were first initially getting like more photo shoots and you were thinking, okay, this is happening, it's what I thought was going to happen, as in like I'm on a career path to showbiz, where you wanted to be. And when did that start to crumble a bit?
So I would definitely say after doing the show that, like, we know a lot of the phrases now, you know, like cancel culture and like online bullying and all that stuff. That, like, that was so new back then, you know? And I definitely found that it was just really hard to get work. So like I had been kind of starting my modeling off before I did the show, and like, no, I wasn't doing it full time, but things were happening, getting the odd job here and there. I worked for Sky Sports as well, modeling for the darts. I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
Yes, no, a dart girl. That's iconic.
Yeah.
That is gas.
Yeah. Very talented woman, you know.
What can I do,
man? So I had that kind of going as well. And that was separate because that was kind of UK based. But like, I just couldn't get booked for jobs after the show. Like I couldn't get management. I couldn't get representation.
No way.
nobody wanted to hire me. And like, I don't even think it was like an intentional thing, but it was just the way the show was perceived, that it was this cheesy, it was, you know, it was seen as like the Scaldy show compared to, let's say, Fage Street. So as much as everybody watched and wanted to talk about it, nobody really wanted to touch it with a barge pole.
Which, that's the difficult thing about like Irish culture and especially Irish media culture. It's like, they can, it's like they can appreciate that something is popular, that it exists, that it represents an aspect of like, you know,
real life,
real almost, life, yeah. And a culture that is a lot of the time ignored on the media. And, you know, when we see like more kind of, you know, inner city Dublin or more Dublin kind of people, it's like that's always seen as a kind of a joke, you know. I think like with the Young Offenders or that kind of shit, you know.
But it's kind of rooted in classism a lot of the time. Very, you know, much, that, yeah, way. It's like, as you said, how Fade Street was, even though Fade Street is now seen as like funny, it's still like California carries another thing of people like, oh, it's Scaldy or it's this or it's that.
And it was
that,
racy,
you know,
with the, like the bikinis. And it's just frustrating that, like, I mean, because we see it with like Charlotte G, Shore, Gaz, all the Geordie Shore people got massive representation, mm-hmm, and have created these crazy careers for themselves.
Yeah. And I would have thought, like, of all people, because I know Nikita has publicly come out since and she has said that like it's really affected her getting any work after the show. And you know, for you, as you said, you went in with media backing, working within the industry, so realistically if it was going to help anyone, it probably would have been you in that way, like of getting a new agent or getting more work or whatever. And it, that's actually so interesting. I think if it happened now, if that film now, it would have been different. I think it was so within the culture because it was right before, like,
I don't know, it still happens to us.
But right before the influencer bubble. But like, we're still doing fine. What I mean is like,
we're not doing fine with the media.
Yeah, but like, fuck the media. Who gives a fuck about them now?
But
yeah,
I mean, like, in Kelly's case,
the media don't pay you anyway. They don't pay you for interviews. And like, that's the thing about the time, is that everybody thought I was doing amazing. And, you know, I was this really vibrant, not to be cocky, but like self-love, you know. So like, I was this vibrant, hopeful, hard-working, ambitious, creative person that wanted to be successful. And that's why I did this show. Like, people would rip the piss and say like, oh, you want to be famous, blah blah blah. Who doesn't want to get out of their reality and do better for themselves, you know? So when things weren't going the way that I had hoped, you know, I would meet manager after manager, I would really put myself out there, and it was just constant no's. I just refused to be cancelled. I was like, I am not going to fucking fade into the background. I have put myself on the line here. I want to get something from this. So I just dug my heels in. I went to every event. I really put myself out there. I did as many photo shoots as I could and was in the media as much as possible. So like, I refused to be cancelled, even though I was going through all these challenges. I had never been so broke in my entire fucking life. Like, for those 2-3 years, I made so little money. I'm surprised I even kept my head above water. I'm surprised I even looked half decent with the budget that I had. Like,
you did look great, because I know you were putting up on your Instagram like, oh, thank God for like filters and whatever. But you looked great, and you look great now.
You do.
Like, you did look fab on the show. And I'd say that's something, because I was on The Voice of Ireland, and it's something that's so...
I know.
And like, I mean, even that, I was on like, what, 2 episodes and not even full episodes like you were. And I mean, walking around Dublin for years afterwards, you'd be on a bus and there'd be the busman being like, you are brilliant, you are robbed. You're like Elvis Presley, you know, this kind of shite. Ridiculous things, or else you'd get people like nudging you. And like, more so than anything, that really, like, so it's, there's something about like being Irish and being on TV about art. People are just like, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when it's filmed in Ireland. But like...
And it's so contrasting as well, because it's like, you know, people would rip into you for wanting to be famous and like, oh, like, you're such a fucking loser. Like, you know, you want to be famous, like, just be quiet. But then, like, on the flip side, you know, I'll give you an example. Like, somebody messaged me the other day being like, oh, Cormac drives an Uber. Ha, 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 ha. And I wrote back, isn't that brilliant that he's working? Yeah. Fair play to
him. And it's awful, because there's that video going around, a kind of little viral video of Cormac in his taxi, and some bellend gets in the back of the car and is like filming him and be like, oh, it's the Cormac. And Cormac's like, let me just do my job. Like, it's so mean that he can't. He's actively trying to, like, he's grafting and he's trying to just like just move on with his life. Yeah. And people keep on pulling him back to something that he did 10 years ago. But talking about, okay, let's get in briefly to the relationship and how that kind of dictated, and how living through that on the show, How was that for you? Because looking back, you know, I looked at some of the season two that you can find online, and, you know, I was like, this is, it's really weird to see the treatment. And it's the same with Geordie Shore when you're looking back, and Jersey Shore, how kind of, you know, I felt the men were treating the women, calling them names such as sluts, which was like, just, you know, that was words that were used openly then. So it was a different time. But also there was a scene which made me feel uncomfortable when I was watching it, because I think you'd played a prank on Dave and then he like tipped your suitcase in the pool in on holidays when you were filming abroad. And I saw the girls around you trying to be like, that's not cool. That's not cool.
Makita was like, but they're your shoes. They're different, Kelly. Yeah, she's like, whatever.
And you were trying to brush it off. And I've so been in that space myself where your friends are kind of like, oh, does he really talk to you like that all the time? And you're like, well, it's fine.
It's a joke.
He's just messing. He's like, oh, he's a mad prick. And you're like, they're like, okay. And you're trying to just like alleviate the situation and be like, no, nothing. It's fine. It's so fine.
I know. And like, let's be honest. Like when I was chatting about doing this, it's something that I really didn't want to go into, but like I said, I did not rewatch this show for, like, I watched it when it came out and I haven't rewatched it since. So for me, you know, I said, you know, I really probably don't want to go into this relationship because, you know, that was a personal thing and I'd prefer to not go there. You know, maybe it's going to bring back a lot of like negative emotions and I've come so far. And then I watched the show and I realized that my experience in California was dictated by a relationship, which is a shame for me, you know, because I feel like I had so much to offer as an individual, and like, I'm such a dominant, feminist, powerful woman now. And I look back and I just feel sad about, you know, my character in the show was this kind of meek, timid, quiet girl in a relationship, which is not who I am, you know? And again, I know I said this already, but this is from my experience and my take and my living experience. I'm not bringing other people's experience into it, that, you know, I'm looking back and I just feel sad for myself because I was clearly in a controlling relationship. Mm-hmm. I was clearly, I'm trying to think of the right words to say, toxic.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Very toxic.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and like the thing is, the weird thing about reality TV is like, there's always one guy and one girl in one of these setups that end up getting together. Like, it's gonna happen, you know. Mm-hmm. That way, if you're putting like, you know, 8 straight people in the gaff together, they're probably gonna get together at some point.
That's what they want as well.
And it's probably encouraged. And, you know, also I could imagine what would kind of like, you'd almost bond with the person more because you're, especially coming out of season one into season two, you're both going through that kind of like online kickback, and he's the only other person that you're probably close to that you can relate to about the experience, you know, that way.
And did you find like, was there that kind of comfort there, or was it kind of like, did you feel like a team in that regard?
So I suppose the big difference between the first and the second show, and it's important to know this, that, you know, a lot of us felt hard done by about the lack of opportunities, a lot of things that didn't work out for us, you know. So I think with everybody going into the second one, we definitely wanted to get a paycheck. We definitely wanted to go maybe and clear our names a little bit. So I definitely think the second show probably wasn't as good as the first one. But I definitely went into this feeling very alone, very, disillusioned, mm-hmm. you know. And I was going into this in a probably somewhat controlling relationship from my experience, you know. So I was going in afraid to rock the boat as well. So, you know, you'll see that a lot of the scenes I'm not even there, you know.
Yeah.
So like, and the girls, like, it's as obvious, like, I don't even need to say it, like, you can see it on the show, like, mm-hmm. So, you know, I went in to get a paycheck, but was I afraid of putting a foot wrong on the show in my relationship? Yes, absolutely. And it dictated my experience on the second one 100%.
Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about, you said that like you weren't paid well, so the first you don't have to tell us, but the first series, how did they bring up money? Because I know even
in a contract.
Yeah. But like,
so they just offered you a fee though, you know, that way, and there wasn't much room for budget. And then, so then did you feel like you were able to negotiate a better fee than for the second season, or?
Yeah. From my memory, I definitely didn't want to do it unless we got more. Again, we couldn't get representation. So it's not like we had anybody on our side to help us. Yeah. Or to, you know, create opportunities around that for us. So we got more in the second one than the first one, but definitely like not a lot. Like I said, I've never been so broke in my entire fucking life, you know? So like, you're going into this show hoping that maybe this one, things will kick off.
Yeah.
And it didn't either, you know, but yeah, I just like, I look back and I just feel sad for myself to be in that type of relationship. And I think that's why I was so back, because I've come so far.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it took me a long time to overcome the emotional challenges of California, the relationship challenges. So,
and what was the emotional challenges of healing, like with California? Was it the kind of like perception that you felt was out there of you, that you kind of had not maybe control over your own
narrative,
image, and your own kind of how people are? 100%.
Like, the crazy thing is when California ended, you know, I found myself like, what am I going to do next? Like, where am I going to go with this? Because, you know, yeah, I can do loads of photo shoots and put myself out there, but I'm not being paid for it. And everybody knows me. So what am I going to do? And I remember even going for job interviews and like people taking pictures of me in the reception. It would go on Twitter and people would laugh at me.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to be really honest, I haven't ever publicly said this to anybody, but I remember even going to social welfare. This is maybe a good few months after the show. And I was sitting there and I had a meeting. Now, I think social welfare is different now. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you weren't allowed social welfare if you were self-employed. So I wasn't entitled to it. But somebody took a picture of me and it ended up in the paper the next day.
No.
Basically saying, like, you know, fall from heaven, not doing so well.
Oh, my God. And which is so frustrating, because also, like, you know, you're in this vulnerable position that you've come out of, like, you know, a fame, 100% local fame in Ireland, you know, that everyone knew,
saying,
the cast.
Like,
yeah.
Half a million. Or yeah. Half, yeah.
Huge amount of watchership, viewership. And you know, so it that is just must be the most annoying thing, that you're like, the media and the tabloids are happy to use my image when it's like putting me down, but like, I'm not able to actually catapult any of this fame into anything like productive or
something.
And
even in terms of fees, like if they were gaining and that much, you know, traffic towards their channel, but yeah, you weren't, they did not, like, it's fucking handy for them because they don't even have to pay the people who are providing the entertainment, basically.
Yeah. Fucking
100%. And like, even all like the promotion for the show we had to do for free, it was in our contract. So, we were going, like, you know, I'm driving around and I'm constantly busy and I'm doing this and that and I'm broke.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I remember my car broke down and I couldn't afford to get it fixed, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, and then when all that stuff happened, you know, like, you're afraid to go anywhere in case whatever about people criticizing the show, who gives a shit? Like, you know, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but when people make it really personal and like, you just come out with this really awful relationship where you've completely lost yourself as a human being, where, you know, all your dreams have been shattered because of, let's say, I don't know, like just the way things were back then with TV, you know, you're in this hugely vulnerable state and then you end up like in the newspapers and on social media with all these personal attacks about your finances and about your looks. Like, I constantly got fired, like the amount of men that used to insult the way I looked physically, and it was constant. And I remember,
and where would that be on Twitter?
Yes. And like, it was constant. Like, I'm not talking like the odd message. I'm talking 20, 30 messages a day.
Whoa.
You know, so
Jesus Christ.
But, like, I didn't want to leave my house. Like, I actually got to a point where I'm going to say it, I was suicidal.
Oh my God.
I was in a really dark place. I was afraid of being judged. I was afraid of going for job interviews. And people didn't know, because like, people thought I was doing so well. So that was really hard, because I was putting on this portrayal to a lot of people that I was doing really well and successful, but actually I was in a very, 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 very dark place.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That's upsetting. That you, like, it brought you there. And like, you know, I think it's just so sad, especially when, like, I mean, because now we're in such a huge boom of reality TV, but you see this happening over and over again. So it's clearly like a very real aspect of the, like, come down from these shows and from that fame.
Well, the unpredictability. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we saw it with Mike Thallis from Love Island, and Sophie Gordon as well, and Caroline Flack, of course, who wasn't on the reality circuit, but like, but the same kind of attention and media attention and hate. And, you know, which everyone is a part of to a certain extent if you consume media,
which we all do.
Yeah.
You know?
And just the overall treatment of women, you know, not even like externally, but internally from the show, and like the slut, the domination of women and just the treatment of women, you know, looking back, it's just, like it was a ticking time bomb. And mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm so glad that the whole cast got out with the thing alive and that mm-hmm. they're doing okay, because, you know, it was a really, like, don't get me wrong, it was brilliant and I would never change it. But yeah, it definitely brought a lot of hardships. And, you know, that led me to get into fitness, which is funny because I would never have got into fitness if I hadn't met the guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I was in art college for years before I went to do the show. I wanted to be an art teacher. I wanted to be a model, you know, and I ended up kind of with this clean slate. And I was like, where do I go? You know, I'm either going to die or I'm going to just do something. And that's how I got into bodybuilding. And it was super duper, you know, and I really found a new career. But at the same time, I didn't realize it at the time that I got into something because I was fragile. I couldn't control anything in my life. So I took on something where I had absolute control, you know, restriction of my diet, competing. And it's only looking back now that it was an unhealthy way to overcome all those emotions. And like, I would say I only really dealt with all those troubles maybe 2 years ago when I went to counseling.
Wow.
You know? So this is a big deal for me doing this, you know.
And we're so thankful came
and it's really important to show the impact of, I mean, now, you know, because that was the unknown then, say these shows like Geordie Shore in California, and all, that was the unknown. Like, you jumped into something and it was the unpredictability. You know, we even saw it with Love Island. Like, I remember watching the first season, or my sisters watched the first season, and it was not a thing, you know, like, I mean, they... Joshua Ritchie, who went out with like Charlotte from Geordie Shore, he was on it, but like, he didn't catapult to the same, the kind of level of like media attention and obsession that like now they would. And especially in Ireland, when you're in, like, it feels so small. You feel like, you said, you can't leave your house. You're going to be noticed. You were photographed in the social welfare. But like, now we're seeing it like where everyone has their own mini reality TV shows via their Instagram, and they're getting the same notoriety, you know, whether it's of girls on OnlyFans, and we don't know the like future impact that that will have.
Yeah.
So you didn't know, but it does.
At least they're getting a monetary value from that for the time that they're doing it.
100%.
You know, like, at least, like, whatever about putting yourself out there and getting something from it, all I got was publicity and that was it.
And publicity, you know, doesn't pay your bills.
If only I had an OnlyFans back then, I'd be rich.
Yeah.
Well, there's always time.
Well, there's always time. But yeah, go check out Swipe Up for Kelly.
Oh, you could call it California Swipe Up.
California Swipe Up. Brilliant. So obviously you said like you went to counselling, and you also mentioned to us before we started filming that you're like, you're back home saving for a house now. So it's kind of, and you're back in the room where you like lived when you filmed that show, you know. So that must be, it must feel 10 years on, like, you do seem like, I mean, you're able to talk about it so well and from such a place, like from a different perspective. But I can, it's crazy to hear how much it affected you. And I mean, it's understandable.
It's very understandable. And like you said, like, you know, I did feel for Philly. Like, obviously he went on first dates and he was ridiculed.
Right?
Yeah, he was ridiculed the first time. And, you know, he kind of became a meme. And then he went back and... I think he was obviously like very uptight. I watched him again at the second one. He was obviously trying to like,
more aware,
you know, make up for how he was perceived, to try and get himself actually across. And like, it's just, it must feel really isolating when you're trying to represent yourself and you're looking for that kind of fame or whatever you want to call it. But like,
do you talk much to the ex-cast members? Like, is there anyone that you've kept in touch with?
You're going to love this. So I have not spoke to any of them in years. So like, obviously, like when I had the whole breakup and things, I didn't really see the lads then because they were all friends. I never really got along with the girls that well. Like, we just didn't really click. Now, maybe it was as a result of that relationship and me just, you know, dedicating my life to that, you know, space, that I didn't put myself with them enough. But I actually, after rewatching it, there was just little scenes that I noticed that the girls picked up on. Like, they noticed that I was in a controlling relationship. And, you know, I actually messaged both of them yesterday.
Oh.
I have not spoke to them in years. I actually said to them, I don't expect to reply back. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, they slated me in a lot of scenes. Like, people love to slag how I look. Like, Mark did it. The girls did it. Everybody did it. I never said anything mean to anybody, really. But I still said, you know what, like, there was a lot of things that they did say that were really nice. And like, so, and they were younger than me as well. So I messaged them just being like, look, I'm thinking of yous. Thank you for noticing things that I didn't notice back then. And, you know, I wish I had of maybe taken your advice or, you know, looked at the warning signs or whatever. And so thanks a million. I do hope you're all keeping well. Don't worry about not writing back. But Natalie actually wrote back there about an hour ago.
No way. Oh, cool. Gosh.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to meet her for a coffee when this whole thing blows over.
Good. California reunion.
Yeah. Because like, I mean, the only people who would know what the experience was like is you guys, you know?
Yeah. So even if you didn't click then, there's actually probably space to click later because you can reflect on that together, you know, that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And hindsight and obviously, is a wonderful thing. You know,
and I was chatting to the Corminator this week as well. I haven't spoke to him in ages, but I always got along with Cormac actually. Yeah. Like, he's hilarious. Like, he is exactly what you see, and you always laugh around him. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop him a message and just like reflect on the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I did laugh. So that was really good.
Oh, and what about Mark O'Neill? Because Mark, I guess, was the one who came in season two who actually did kind of catapult into, like, he was obviously on Big Brother and he made a big splash over there. Yes. And I don't think he's doing
well. Here's the funny thing about me and Mark. So Mark hated my guts.
Really?
Like, he, and it was said on the show, watch season two, he hates me. He said, now I personally find that this is a compliment. So he said that I sound like a goat and I look like Pete Burns, but I love Pete Burns.
I love Pete Burns. You don't look like him, but I do love Pete Burns. Yeah. But like, I mean, even you saw the way, like, he was on Big Brother and he was like, he definitely, he's kind of that same, like, he's looking for the drama. He goes on the show.
He knows how
to
get the camera time.
Yeah. And he wants to poke people and make people feel uncomfortable.
He's such an instigator.
He is. And I mean, it does make for great watching.
And like, if you look at the show, like, it doesn't take anyone with two brain cells to see, you know, I'm in a relationship with somebody extremely dominant. You know, I'm clearly holding myself back from a lot of things to avoid drama and arguments. So when Mark comes in with his ding-a-ling flying around the place, do you think it's sensible for somebody in like a high drama, highly dramatic, toxic relationship to get involved there
as well? When, like, in the first season, you know, you were put in a position of like being made out to be this kind of like, oh, he turns his back and you're trying it on with the other guys in the house and that kind of stuff. So I remember that scene.
Not true. Like, I was like, again, this is the part, like, I was mad about him. Like, everybody would know that, like, that's where my cards lay. I couldn't give a shit about Phil. Come on. Like,
no, of course. But so, I, like, mean, I've been in that situation as well. It's another aspect of potential. Like, you know, it's kind of control or whatever. But I remember that Mark, he burst onto the scene, season two, fully naked. He was in the pool.
Yes.
And the guys were, and he came in such a like dominating presence. The other guys were instantly had their back up and they were trying to. So it was this constant like male ego bashing, you know?
Yeah. And like, I obviously was like, well, it's not sensible for me to go and be best friends with this naked guy because that is going to cause trouble for me. So I'm just going to avoid him and just stay away. So I think Mark, because again, like, this is just from my personal experience, that he obviously liked attention and I didn't give him an ounce, which is really unusual for me because I would be the first person to chat to anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I just avoided him because I was like, I just don't need that drama in my life. There's already way too much. And he took that really personally. So he really hated my guts. And I don't remember, I couldn't find the episode, but as far as I know, like, there was a fight between him and Dave, and like, Dave smashed him against the ground and like, yeah,
I remember that, because he was like an instigator to all the lads. Like, he wasn't really on anyone's side, he was slagging them all off. And I remember there was definitely like a kind of battle of the egos with Dave and Mark, and Mark came in and he's like beefed up, like in great shape, and he looks good and he's super tanned, you know, like,
and very charismatic and like really chatty funny, and like, he's like, I mean, Mark is like made for reality TV. That's 100%. Why he did so well. Like, he's one of those characters that you're like, you are probably just made to be a reality TV star. Like,
he knows what he's doing as well. Yeah, and like, now he's like a scientist or something, right?
Yeah. Gas.
Yeah, he was doing his degree when he came onto the show. Funny enough, so
funny.
Like, he was always going to probably do well. I think he went to America. Now again, I don't know. I think he went to America to work or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, which was probably sensible just to run away.
Yeah. So I guess, like, on final thoughts, like, any, like, you know, anything that else you'd like to talk about when it comes to California that we think we might have missed? Because I'm sure there's just so much to talk about with this kind of stuff.
God, like, there was just so much more drama that happened like behind the scenes. And like, because of that schedule and like I suppose for me reflecting on it, I just feel sad for myself because I was clearly alone a lot of the time, you know. So like, I wasn't really friends with the lads, but I spent a lot of time with them because of the relationship. Wasn't friends with the girls. And then if I did have an argument in the relationship that I was in, I was completely isolated. So like, I do remember, especially in the second one, spending a lot of time alone, like reading and like, you know, being afraid to like do anything, like because of the public, because of my relationship. So I suppose I look back and I just feel sorry for myself, and I feel sorry for the way women were treated on TV. And maybe that's why they haven't shown, maybe that's why they won't show season one.
Because they just didn't travel well. I'd say it is. Cause like, I mean, even when you look back on old Jersey Shore, Geordie Shore now, you're like, what? Like, it's so crazy. The role that women were given on the on those shows were just to be like,
and the space
talked about, kind of, and
the space that men were given to be legends. The way that they were speaking about women and that was aired was crazy.
Yeah. And like the fact that men were like, you know, because there's always a level of encouragement, you know, that way, like not saying actively that the producer is saying like, do this, do that. But you almost like, I can imagine with California, like people have watched Jersey Shore, they've watched Geordie Shore. So they kind of know the roles they're kind of supposed to play. And it's this whole like, let's get out and get a load of birds, but like, let's slut shame the girls, you know.
It was so beautiful in its element because it was actually, the point of reality show was to see people acting as humans are and human interaction as is. But now what's come in is like, you know, we've seen it, like I remember on Big Brother, which is over now, like, I mean, what things that were acceptable 5 years ago recording on Big Brother then became totally unacceptable, and like people were getting kicked off for saying this or saying that or touching this way, you know. And but at the start, and when, you know, California and Geordie Shore and Jersey Shore, it was like there was no implications if, you know, like for example, you slapping Philly, like that was like allowed, which was beautiful to see human interaction, because that's what happens in real life in some ways. You
and
know,
look,
the way?
Let's be fair. Like, think about any Dublin lads; they all have a lads group. There is that misogyny,
100%.
Like we talk about like women's rights now and the whole conversation now through Women's Day, like that exists. You know, maybe now it's not as out there as it used to be, but it's still there. And like, you know, in some ways it's nice to look back as a stronger woman now. And I in some ways, if we remade it again, I think I would annihilate every single one of them.
Good.
You know, I literally wouldn't take an ounce off any of them, you know. But it's different times, and maybe that's why they won't reshow, because it just didn't travel well.
Yeah.
Like, I felt watching it like, oh my God, you can't say that, you can't do that. And it was to do with me, you know.
Yeah, I know, it's mad. But like,
how is that person saying that to me? Like,
it's crazy. But I mean, you just don't even bat an eyelid, you
that's
know?
Great that you're able to see and visualize the growth.
Yeah,
because you know, you actually forget, like, I don't know what the hell I was like
at 22. Yeah, because obviously
how I was talking,
it's an unusual situation, good and bad, 100%, to have like a recording of yourself at such a young age and going through a really toxic relationship, because like everyone's had one of those toxic relationships in their past usually. So I can only imagine having recordings of that and seeing it, being just like, who is she, first of all? How did I put up with it? But I guess it, in a way, it can help you if you come out the other end of it positively. It can help you grow, and it can help you kind of realize warning signs, you know, in hindsight,
and learn. And I mean, regardless of it being like problematic or whatever, like now it is an iconic moment in Irish TV history. It's just like, was so, I remember being like, oh my God, like Irish TV needs to do more shit like this. Like, it's the perfect recipe for television.
I know.
Put them all in a house.
And like, it's funny because like, looking back, like back then the girls were made to look terrible. Like, they were made to look like sluts. They were made to look like this, like that. But when you look back, the lads look terrible.
Yes.
Like, they look terrible. And that's brilliant. That is enough justice for me.
Yes.
You know, like, would I do, like, if somebody said to me, like, would you host a reality TV show now? I would definitely do it, you know?
Yeah.
Good. So I think the big thing is that, like, there has to be, like, psychological support, which we didn't have. I think there needs to be, well, it's different times. I think there's more opportunities for people on reality TV now, you know? And I think
it could have been more in your own hands. Maybe if it was now, absolutely. Because you wouldn't have. But you do like Pilates lives on your Instagram, which are really cool.
Yeah. So like, I've been working in the health and fitness industry since pretty much I finished California. Like, I became a PT, I wrote a book. And again, like, this was part of me digging my heels in. Like, I refuse to be canceled. I am going to create opportunities for myself. Did I make a load of money from it? No. But I dug my heels in, and I've been in the industry since. So at the moment, I'm on COVID, like a lot of people, and I'm just kind of starting a Pilates business. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I feel like doing this interview, and like the funny thing is I've had a lot of requests this week because we're talking about this to do more things. And I have a funny feeling that this could be the start of maybe a renewed career in show business again.
I hope so.
That would be amazing. And
I know, I would definitely do stuff. And I feel like I needed to go through this healing, and you girls have helped me do it in a fun way.
That's great.
Thanks so much. Well, we are so thankful that you came on and spoke to us about it. I feel like it was very serendipitous. We caught you just at the right time, I feel.
And we are crowning you with the It Gals Legend Award and everyone else who was on, who was cast on California. Yeah, because you should be treated as Irish legends because that's what you are. So, end of story.
So everyone listening, go follow Kelly on Instagram. We'll have all your stuff linked
below. Join in the Pilates lives.
Yes, I'll be doing them actually because I think everyone needs a bit of structure. You do them twice a week, right?
Yeah, so I'm doing two free lives a week just to give people a little bit of motivation, a bit of fun. I do teach one beginner's class on a Saturday. It's 60 minutes long.
Fab.
And I'm hoping this time in the year, maybe I'll have my own studio. And who knows? So
Well, we want to be on the journey with you. So we will be joining those lives, and we want you gals to too. And like, because we're going to be out on this cobble soon, looking good, hopefully. And I need a bit of Pilates because I'm crouched over the poxy laptop all the time. So I need a bit of that.
So Kelly, thanks so much for coming on.
Anytime.
Yeah. Thanks, gal.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Kelly.
And thank you for being so lovely, because I was so afraid of kind of coming back to this part of my life. And it was such a positive experience. Love you.
Thanks, Gal.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.